Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're going to tackle this topic that everyone's talking about in Australia, nuclear power.
Yeah.
You guys have sent us a ton of research and analysis from this guy, Dr. CJ Kickert.
Okay.
He's an electrical engineer.
Right.
And he's been like really deep in the data about Australia's energy grid for over a decade.
Right.
He actually presented all this stuff at a meeting in Adelaide with some really experienced engineers.
Interesting.
So our goal today is to help you guys cut through all this like noise and figure out if nuclear power is really something Australia should be considering.
You know what I think is really cool about this?
Yeah.
The Dr. Kickert doesn't just look at like the technology side of it.
Yeah.
He really goes into like the economics, the politics, and even like how our individual choices.
Right.
Like if we decide to put solar panels on our roofs, how that all fits in.
Yeah, that's such a good point, because I think sometimes when we talk about these big energy questions, it's easy to forget that like our own choices actually play a part in it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So let's jump into it. Why don't we start by looking at the global nuclear landscape?
Okay.
Dr. Kickert points out that right now there are over 440 nuclear reactors running all over the world.
Wow.
With the U.S., France, and China kind of leading the pack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just based on that, it seems like nuclear is a pretty good idea, right?
Well, not so fast.
Okay.
Even though there are a lot of reactors out there,
yeah,
the percentage of electricity globally that's generated from nuclear has actually been going down for the past 20 years.
Really?
Yeah. And that's mainly because renewable energy sources like wind and solar have been growing so quickly.
So it's not just about like how many reactors there are. We also need to look at all the other things happening in the energy sector.
Exactly.
So it's like a more complicated picture.
Yeah. And to kind of show this, Dr. Kickert compares France.
Okay.
Which is like really gone all in on nuclear to Germany,
right,
which is actually in the process of phasing it out.
Yep.
So it's a really interesting comparison of how different countries are handling this whole energy transition thing.
So globally, the picture for nuclear is kind of mixed.
Yeah.
But let's zoom in on Australia.
Okay.
The coalition has this plan to add nuclear power to the Australian energy grid with the goal of having 38% nuclear, 54% renewables,
wow,
and 8% gas and storage by 2050.
That's a pretty ambitious goal.
It is, isn't it?
Especially considering like the politics and regulations in Australia right now.
And it gets even more tricky when you look at the places they're thinking of putting these nuclear plants.
Okay.
They're talking about Tarong, Callide, Liddell, Mount Piper, Loy Yang, Port Augusta, and Muja.
That's a lot of places.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And none of these places are owned by the federal government right now.
Yeah.
So that just adds another layer of complexity.
For sure.
So speaking of complicated, let's talk about like the economics of nuclear power.
Okay.
Dr. Kickert gets into this thing called the levelized cost of energy, or LCOE. Can you break that down for us? What is that? And like, how does it relate to the cost of nuclear?
So imagine you're buying a car.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
You wouldn't just look at like the sticker price.
Right.
You'd also think about things like how much gas it uses.
Yeah.
How much it costs to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And like what you could sell it for later.
Right.
To get like the total cost of owning it over time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
LCOE is kind of like that.
Okay.
It's a way to compare the costs of different energy sources over their entire lifespan.
Oh, okay.
So from building it and running it to fuel costs and even what it takes to shut it down at the end.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that part.
Yeah, it's important.
So it's like a holistic view of the cost.
Exactly.
Okay. So when you look at this LCOE for nuclear power, how does it compare to what we pay for energy now in Australia?
Well, that's the thing. It's way higher.
Seriously.
Yeah. And Dr. Kickert uses data from this CSIRO publication called Gen Cost 2024.
Right.
And it shows that the LCOE for nuclear is much higher than current energy prices in Australia.
Huh.
Especially if it's run as baseload power.
Okay, wait, hold on. What's baseload?
Baseload is basically the minimum amount of electricity that always needs to be flowing through the grid to meet the demand that's like always there.
Okay.
So think of it as like the foundation of the electricity supply.
Gotcha.
Usually this baseload comes from power plants that just run all the time, like coal and nuclear.
Okay, so if nuclear plants are supposed to run constantly,
yeah,
how does that affect the cost?
Well, here's where the Australian energy market gets interesting.
Okay.
We're seeing more and more of these negative pricing events happening.
Negative pricing? What is that?
It's basically when we have too much electricity being generated.
Okay.
Usually from renewables, like solar.
Right.
And it actually causes the wholesale electricity prices to drop below zero.
Below zero?
Yeah, meaning that the generators actually have to pay to get rid of their extra energy.
Whoa, they have to pay to get rid of it. That's wild.
They know, right?
But how does this all tie back to nuclear?
So think about it.
Okay.
Nuclear plants are designed to be that baseload power.
Mm.
They're meant to run all the time.
Yeah.
But if they keep making electricity during one of these negative pricing events, they're actually losing money.
So you're saying that nuclear power, which is supposed to be like this super reliable source of electricity, could actually become a financial problem in a market that has a lot of renewables.
That's one of the big concerns Dr. Kickert raises.
Okay.
He uses the example of this new nuclear plant in the UK.
Okay.
Hinkley Point C.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that one.
It's still being built.
Right.
But the projections show that the electricity from Hinkley Point C is going to cost more than double the average price in Australia.
Double. That's crazy expensive.
It is.
And I'm guessing that doesn't even include the cost of like shutting down the plant eventually and dealing with the nuclear waste.
Nope, that's on top of that.
Wow. Okay, so there's this potential cost issue.
Right.
But what about comparing nuclear to renewables directly? Because remember, the coalition's plan includes a decent chunk of renewables too.
That's right. And Dr. Kickert brings up South Australia here.
Okay.
They're already getting over 75% of their electricity from renewables.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, they're basically proving that a grid that's mostly powered by renewables can actually work.
But how does that work practically?
Because
like solar only works when the sun's out, right? Doesn't that cause issues?
It's a common concern. And this is where Dr. Kickert brings up this thing called the duck curve.
The duck curve?
It's basically a visual representation of how the demand for electricity changes throughout the day.
Okay.
So when you have a lot of solar power being used, you get this dip in demand during the day when the sun is shining.
Okay.
And then it shoots back up when the sun sets.
So it's like a duck diving under the water and then coming back up.
Exactly.
Got it.
But how does this duck curve affect nuclear?
That's what I was going to ask.
So remember, baseload power is meant to run all the time at a steady rate.
Yeah.
If you've got a nuclear plant going full blast during the day when the sun's already providing a bunch of power, you end up with too much electricity.
Oh, I see.
And that can trigger those negative pricing events we were talking about.
So basically, trying to force this steady output from a nuclear plant into a grid that has a lot of solar could actually backfire.
Yeah.
Like, it could lead to wasted energy and the plant could lose money.
Exactly.
Wow. I hadn't even considered that.
And to make things even more interesting, Dr. Kickert points out that rooftop solar is booming in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So all these people installing their own solar panels are actually adding to this duck curve effect, which makes it even harder to fit in those big baseload power plants.
So adding nuclear to a grid that's getting more and more renewable might not be as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, it's definitely more complicated than it seems on the surface.
All right. Well, this is way more intricate than I originally thought. So we were in the middle of talking about South Australia and how their energy market is kind of a glimpse into the future for the rest of Australia.
Right. It's like a testing ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Dr. Kickert basically says that if nuclear can't compete in South Australia, which already has a ton of renewables, then it was probably not going to work for the whole country either.
So he actually went and crunched the numbers.
I did.
Comparing like what nuclear would probably cost to what different energy sources actually cost in South Australia. What did he find?
Well, it's kind of bad news for nuclear. Even if you like look at the most optimistic cost projections for nuclear, it would still lose a ton of money in the South Australian market.
Wow. So it's not looking good.
Yeah, it definitely challenges the idea that nuclear is this cheap and easy solution.
Right.
But to be fair, Dr. Kickert doesn't completely write off nuclear.
Okay.
He thinks there might be a role for it, just not in the way most people are talking about it.
Interesting. All right, I'm all ears. What does he suggest?
So instead of trying to make baseload nuclear work with all these renewables coming online, he thinks we should look at nuclear as a replacement for gas peaking plants.
Hold on, peaking plants? I'm not familiar with that term.
So peaking plants are these power plants that are designed to handle those like really high demand periods when everyone's using a ton of electricity.
Right.
And the baseload generators and other sources can't keep up.
So it's like a backup system.
Yeah, they only run for short periods.
Gotcha.
Like when the grid needs an extra boost.
So instead of running all the time like a baseload plant,
right.
A peaking plant is more like a sprinter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's coming in for short bursts of energy when we need it most.
And Dr. Kickert thinks that nuclear,
okay,
specifically those small modular reactors or SMRs,
yeah, I've heard of those,
could actually be good at this kind of load following operation.
Wait, but didn't we say earlier that traditional nuclear plants are like these giant lumbering beasts that can't adjust their output quickly?
Yeah, that's true for the big traditional plants.
Right.
But the idea with SMRs
yeah.
is that they're smaller and more compact.
Okay.
So in theory, they should be able to ramp up and down faster.
So they're more nimble.
Exactly.
Okay. I see the appeal. But I thought SMRs were still mostly in development.
That's true.
Are they really a realistic option for Australia anytime soon?
It's a good point. And Dr. Kickert is realistic about this, too.
Okay.
There are still a lot of technical and economic challenges with SMRs
right.
before we can actually use them on a large scale.
Yeah, it takes time to develop new technology.
And especially in a complicated industry like nuclear power.
Absolutely. So it seems like SMRs might be something to consider down the road.
Maybe.
But they're not going to solve our problems right now.
Right. We need solutions that are already working and available.
Okay, so before we get too far into the future, I want to go back to something Dr. Kickert mentioned. This whole thing about fault tolerance in the grid.
Oh, right. Fault tolerance.
Yeah. Can you remind us what that is and why it matters?
So fault tolerance is basically the grid's ability to deal with problems.
Problems like?
Like if a big power plant suddenly shuts down.
Okay.
A fault tolerant grid can handle that kind of outage.
Okay.
And keep everything running smoothly.
Right. We don't want the whole system to crash just because one part fails.
Exactly. We need the grid to be reliable.
And how does this relate to nuclear?
Well, in the Australian energy market right now,
yeah.
we have this rule that we need enough backup power
okay.
to cover the output of the largest generator in the system.
Oh, wow. That seems like a lot of backup.
It is. And it's expensive.
Right.
So if you were to build a huge nuclear plant,
yeah.
we'd also need to build a ton of extra backup power.
Just in case the nuclear plant goes down.
Yep.
That seems kind of inefficient.
It is. And Dr. Kickert argues that this approach, which was designed for the old way of doing things
right.
with these big centralized power plants,
right.
just doesn't make sense as we move towards a grid with more renewables.
But hold on. Aren't renewables like solar and wind kind of unreliable?
That's what some people say.
Yeah.
But actually, because renewables are spread out over a wider area.
Okay.
They're less likely to all fail at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting.
And as we add more battery storage,
mm-hmm.
those batteries can act as a backup system
okay.
to keep things stable,
right.
even when the sun isn't shining or the wind isn't blowing.
So batteries are kind of like the shock absorbers of the energy grid?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I like that analogy.
They smooth out the bumps.
Right. And Dr. Kickert thinks batteries can provide this fault tolerance
yeah.
better and cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
than having all this extra backup power sitting around.
Exactly.
So we've talked about a lot of complex stuff here.
We have.
Did Dr. Kickert offer any, like, simple takeaways?
Yeah, actually, he does.
He basically says that baseload power generation in general is becoming a bad idea for the Australian energy market.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it just because of the cost of things like nuclear and coal?
It's more than that.
Okay.
As we get more and more renewables,
yeah.
especially rooftop solar,
right.
the need for baseload power is actually going down.
Interesting.
So these big power plants might actually end up having to shut down sometime.
Oh, wow.
Or even pay to get rid of their extra energy.
So it's not just the cost of building these plants.
Right.
It's also that the whole energy market is changing.
Yeah, the rules of the game are different now.
And the baseload plants are stuck playing by the old rules.
Okay, exactly.
All right, so after all this analysis,
yeah.
what's the final verdict?
Mm.
Is nuclear power in Australia a good idea or a bad idea?
Well, based on Dr. Kickert's research,
right.
baseload nuclear just doesn't make sense
right.
with all these renewables taking over.
Right.
The economics are tough.
Yeah.
Integrating it into the grid is really complicated.
Mm.
And there are these massive long-term costs to think about.
Right, like dealing with the waste and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But he doesn't completely rule out nuclear, right?
That's right. He mentioned SMRs
yeah.
and how they could maybe work in the future.
Maybe as a replacement for those gas peaking plants we were talking about.
Yeah, it's an interesting possibility.
But remember, SMR technology isn't ready yet.
Right.
So we can't count on it anytime soon.
So the big question is,
yeah,
do we keep investing in renewables and batteries,
mm.
which are working now, Or do we gamble on this uncertain nuclear future?
And that brings us back to this idea of hidden agendas.
Right.
Could the people pushing for nuclear actually be trying to slow down the shift to renewables?
That's a serious accusation.
Yeah.
What evidence does Dr. Kickert have for that?
Well, he argues that baseload nuclear just doesn't make financial sense in Australia.
Okay.
The upfront costs are enormous.
Right. It
takes forever to build these plants. And there's a big chance that costs will go way over budget.
Which happens all the time with these big infrastructure projects.
Especially when you're dealing with new technology.
Right. But couldn't the nuclear folks say that the cost is worth it?
Sure.
Because it's a reliable, carbon-free energy source?
Yeah, that's definitely part of the argument.
Okay.
But Dr. Kickert's concern is that
yeah.
by focusing on nuclear,
mm-hmm.
which might not even be a good idea in the long run,
right?
We're wasting time and resources that we could be spending on solutions that are working right now.
So it's not just about the cost of nuclear itself.
Right.
It's about the opportunity cost
exactly.
of missing out on other better options.
And he's worried that this delay could have serious consequences for climate change.
Right, because every bit of CO2 we release now stays in the atmosphere for a long time.
Yeah, so putting off the switch to clean energy
mm-hmm.
will affect generations to come.
Wow, that's a scary thought. So is Dr. Kickert saying that someone's intentionally trying to trick people about nuclear power?
I wouldn't say he's accusing anyone of lying.
Okay.
But he is worried about how powerful groups influence energy policy.
Right, like lobbyists and stuff.
Yeah, he points out that the fossil fuel industry
okay.
has a long history of trying to slow down action on climate change.
But haven't some fossil fuel companies started investing in renewables?
Some have.
So wouldn't it be in their best interest to support the transition to clean energy?
Well, it's complicated.
Okay.
Some companies are definitely trying to change,
sure.
but others are still fighting to protect their old business model.
So it's kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah, some are embracing the change
mm-hmm.
while others are resisting it.
Okay, so what's the point Dr. Kickert is trying to make?
He's basically saying that we need to be aware of all these different agendas.
Right.
And really scrutinize any proposals for new energy projects.
Okay.
To make sure they're actually good for Australia. Not just good for a few powerful companies.
So he's calling for more transparency.
Yeah. And for people to get involved and ask tough questions.
Right. It's our energy future, after all.
Exactly. We all have a stake in this.
Absolutely. All right, so we're back for the last part of our deep dive into nuclear power in Australia. We've covered a lot of ground, the economics, the technical stuff, even the idea that there might be some hidden agendas at play. It's a lot to unpack.
It really is. And Dr. Kickert's analysis definitely makes you think. But you know what I thought was really interesting?
What's that?
He actually talks about his own experience with renewable energy at home.
Yeah. I loved that part.
Like, he's not just talking about this stuff theoretically.
Right.
He's actually living it.
He mentions that his house is almost completely powered by renewables.
Yeah, he's got solar panels, a battery, and even an electric car.
It's a great example of how individuals can make a difference.
Absolutely. And he shares some pretty amazing numbers, too.
Yeah, what was it, like 262 days out of the year he's using almost no electricity from the grid?
Yeah, something like that. And for over 320 days, he's actually producing more energy than he uses.
That's incredible. So he's basically off the grid. What made him decide to do all this?
He talks about wanting to reduce his carbon footprint
right.
and become more energy independent.
Okay.
But what's really cool is he also frames it as a smart financial decision.
Really?
Yeah. He says that all the stuff he's done,
mm-hmm.
the solar, the battery, the electric car,
yeah,
it's actually saved him money over time.
That's so interesting because I think a lot of people assume that going green is always going to be more expensive.
Right. It's a common misconception.
Yeah. And this kind of goes back to what Dr. Kickert keeps emphasizing.
Yeah.
The importance of what he calls distributed energy resources.
Okay. Remind me what that means again.
So it's basically a shift away from the old way of doing things.
Okay.
Where we have these giant power plants sending electricity to everyone.
Right.
Distributed energy resources are things like rooftop solar, home batteries, even electric vehicles that can feed power back into the grid.
So it's like spreading out the energy production.
Yeah, it's like democratizing energy.
I like that.
Yeah.
And Dr. Kickert says this is a huge trend that's changing everything about how we think about energy.
And it's happening fast. He mentioned that Australia is adding something like 3 gigawatts of rooftop solar every year.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's crazy, right? It's... So maybe the future of energy isn't about building these massive power plants.
Mm.
Maybe it's about giving people the tools to generate their own power.
It's an interesting idea. So after looking at all this research, What do you think? Is nuclear power really a viable solution for Australia? Or is it a distraction?
It's tough to say for sure, but I think Dr. Kicker makes a strong case that baseload nuclear power just doesn't fit with where the Australian energy market is headed.
Yeah, the economics are really challenging, and trying to make it work with all these renewables coming online is just really complicated.
Plus, there's the whole issue of what to do with the nuclear waste.
Right. The long-term costs are huge. But he doesn't completely shut the door on nuclear. Right?
No, he does mention those small modular reactors.
Yeah, SMRs.
Yeah, maybe they could be part of the solution in the future.
Possibly. They might be more flexible and adaptable.
But we talked about how that technology is still in development.
Right. We can't rely on something that's not ready yet. We need to focus on what works now.
So the choice is, do we keep investing in the things that are already working, like renewables and batteries, or do we take a gamble on this uncertain nuclear future?
It's a big decision with a lot of factors to consider. But at the end of the day, it's about finding the right mix of solutions to create a sustainable energy future for Australia.
And I think that's a great note to end on. This deep dive into Dr. Kickert's research has been fascinating.
It really has. It's a complex issue, but hopefully this has helped shed some light on the challenges and opportunities we're facing.
Absolutely. And thanks, everyone, for listening to this deep dive. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic. You can find us on social media to join the conversation. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.